At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Patrick Ahern, Manager of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Joe. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to discuss our 2010 first quarter results. With me today are Mr. John Lau, President and Chief Executive Officer, Alistair Cowan, Chief Financial Officer, Rob Peabody, Chief Operating Officer, Operations and Refining, and Terrence Cuttrick, Vice President of Midstream and Refined Products. In today's call, John will discuss Husky's financial results and give an overview of the operational highlights. Terrence Cuttrick will provide an update on the midstream and downstream divisions. John will then conclude, at which time we will open up the call for discussion, starting with analysts, followed by the media. Please note that today's comments contain forward-looking information. Actual results may differ materially from expected results because of various risk factors and assumptions that are described in our quarterly release and in our annual filings, which are available on SEDAR, EDGAR, and on our website. I will now turn the call over to John.
Thank you, Patrick, and good afternoon to everyone. Results in the first quarter of 2010 reflected a strong commodity price environment, although partially offset by a stronger Canadian dollar and lower product margins in downstream. Cash flow from operations was up 58% to $895 million, or $1.05 per share, from $565 million, or 67 cents per share, in the same quarter of 2009. Earnings were $345 million, or 41 cents per share, up from $328 million, or 59 cents per share, in first quarter of 2009. Sales and operating revenues were $4.47 billion compared with $3.5 billion in the first quarter of 2009. Husky's total production in the first quarter averaged 296,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, compared with 2009 first quarter production of 342,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. This is up from 292,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day in the prior quarter. Total crude oil and natural gas liquids production was 209,000 barrels per oil per day in the quarter, compared to 250,000 barrels per day in the first quarter of 2009, and up from 203,000 barrels per day in the fourth quarter of 2009. Liquids production in the first quarter was lower compared to the same quarter in 2009, primarily due to peak production rate decline from the White Rose oil field. Total production levels at the White Rose field will ramp up when the North Endless Satellite begins production in the second quarter of 2010. Average natural gas production was 524 million cubic feet per day, down from 551 million cubic feet per day in the first quarter of 2009. Natural gas production is tracking within guidance. However, some production may be shut in later this year if gas prices weaken further. The company remains in a strong financial position. Total debt at March 31, 2010, net of cash and cash equivalents was $3.34 billion. Debt to cash flow and debt to capital employed ratios at 31st March 2010 were 1.4 times and 21% respectively on the trailing 12-month basis. We are pleased to advise that Husky's Board of Directors has approved a quarterly dividend of 30 cents per share, payable on July 2, 2010, to shareholders of record on May 21st, 2010. During the first quarter, Husky made significant progress on several mega projects in line with our medium and long-term growth plan. On the east coast of Canada, during completion and tie-in operations resumed for North Analyst project. The first well is being completed and is expected to be on production in the second quarter. Production will ramp up as additional wells are drilled and brought on stream, reaching gross production rates of 37,000 barrels per day in 2011, 25,000 barrels per day Husky's share. During the quarter, Husky and its partners extended the agreement with the GSF Grand Banks offshore drilling rig. This will enable Husky to continue the development of the White Rose and adjacent oil fields through January 2013. In February, Husky and his partner were granted a significant discovery license for the Mission Discovery in the Flemish Pass Basin. In China, the overall development plans for the Luan 3-1 field is being finalized, with expected submission to partner and regulatory authorities later this year. Gas marketing arrangements are in progress, with agreements targeted for completion in time for project sanction later in 2010. Block 2926 in the South China Sea continues to show excellent exploration potential. In February, Husky announced another significant discovery with the Luhao 2911 exploration well. Currently, an appraisal well is being drilled to delineate the new discovery. The new field will be tied into the planned infrastructure for the Luwen 3-1 field. At the Sunrise Oil Sands project in Lofton, Alberta, major contracts have been tendered for the Phase 1 project plan and field facilities. Construction work continues on the East Athabasca Highway and with planned site preparation. A decision of project sanction is expected by the end of the year, with first oil in 2014. In the first quarter, three additional well pairs were drilled at the Tucker Oil Sands project. Steaming is expected by the third quarter, with production by year-end. In Western Canada, Husky continued to build its position in a number of gas resource plays and now holds more than 946,000 net acres around established assets in the Alberta foothills and northeast British Columbia. Terence will now talk about the midstream and downstream divisions.
Thanks, John. Husky's midstream business operated at a high level in the quarter. Upgrader throughput averaged 82,100 barrels per day, and operating costs were $1.11 per barrel lower than in Q1 of 2009. However, earnings were down as a result of upgrading differentials that were $4.20 per barrel lower than in the same period in 2009. The upgrader is scheduled for a 60-day turnaround in the third quarter of this year to undergo maintenance and enhancements. Husky's downstream operations performed well in the first quarter of 2010 compared to the same period in the prior year. Total U.S. and Canadian refinery throughput was 246,400 barrels per day compared with 236,600 barrels per day in 2009. Financial results were impacted by lower product margins as a result of lower market crack spreads. In the first quarter, Husky moved forward to integrate its 98 retail locations in southern Ontario. Rebranding is underway, and the first station was opened in early April. The remaining locations will be brought into the Husky network over the coming months. I will now pass the call back to John for his concluding remarks.
Thank you, Terence. Husky produced solid financial performance in the first quarter of 2010 while making good progress on its strategic projects. Husky has exciting major projects, including the Luwen discovery in the South China Sea, the Sunrise Oil Sands project in Alberta, and White Rose and East Satellite developments on the East Coast of Canada. The company also has an extensive portfolio of heavy oil, light oil, and natural gas assets in Western Canada. Husky enters the decade positioned to create shareholder value with a strong core asset base and plans to grow in the near, medium, and long term. In February, The board of directors announced my intention to step down as the president and chief executive officer of Husky Energy. I'm firmly committed to managing Husky until a successor has been appointed and to ensure an orderly transition. Back to you, Patrick.
Thank you, John. That concludes the formal part of the call. We would be pleased to answer any questions you might have, and I will now turn the call back to the conference operator.
Thank you, Patrick. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Terry Peters of Canaccord Adams. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I wanted to talk a little bit about White Rose and about North Amethyst, and I just wonder if you indicated that you would expect to see a ramp-up as you drill and or connect the wells from North Amethyst. What is the base production at White Rose? How is that holding up? And could you just indicate how you see that progression over the balance of the year in terms of tying in wells? Is it fairly steady per quarter, or is it going to be biased to the year end? Just trying to get an idea as to how that whole complex is going to perform this year in terms of production.
Terry, this is Rob Peabody. Yeah, I mean, okay, so looking at East Coast production for the rest of the year, current production today gross at White Rose is between about 55 and 60,000 barrels a day post the turnaround. That's actually quite stable at the moment. You may have noticed, I mean, we did see a reduction in production just after the turnaround, and since then we've seen pretty flat production. So we saw the kind of main decline being arrested, and we've seen pretty flat production since then. I think as we kind of look forward in the year, we're anticipating that production to, in fact, at the moment it's gradually increasing at the moment. At the moment, we're still anticipating that production to hold pretty well throughout the year, although clearly it's something we're watching. North Amethyst production will start ramping up with the wells. Basically, if you draw a line between the next quarter and the end of the year, as we add wells, we see that production increasing, as we said in this the transcripts, to 37,000 barrels a day gross. Does that answer your question, Terry?
Yeah, and is that you can expect from North Amethyst to hold that rate for a period of time, a couple of years, or is that a rather steep?
Yeah, no, decline? I think you're looking at a similar sort of profile to the original White Rose field, but at a smaller, you know, scaled down level.
Okay. And just one follow up on the exploration in South China Sea. You had, I guess it's the 34-2 complex. There was a well that didn't encounter the commercial reservoir. And does that mean that your development plans there are going to be the Luan 3-1 and the 29-1 discovery? Are those the two that you will be looking to pair up in a development project?
Yes, the exploration program haven't finished yet. We still have about 3 to 4 blocks to 4 area to go. And Luan 3-1-1 and the subsequent 2 additional discoveries during the year, plus the 3 appraisal wells, they were all successful. From the evaluation of the resource base, that has been confirmed our previous prediction about 4 to 6 trillion of gas. So there's no surprise from our reconfirmation.
Okay, and just if you can remind me that the government, or I think it's CNOOC, has an option to back in and do on this, and have they indicated they would exercise that, or at what point do they pay prior exploration costs and then share in future development costs, or how can you just outline briefly how that works?
Yeah, the CNOOC, actually under the sharing contract, they have a right to farm in for 51%.
Right.
Our timing, original gas in place is already reported to government in December. The overall development plan is ready to submit to CNOOC and also to government. once there's ODP being submitted and revealed, the CNOOC will exercise, I've been advised, they will be looking at their project. Once they propose or design their project, the cost sharing will straight away be on that basis. For the gas production, we expect we're still on target for 2013.
Right. Okay. So do they pay any of your back exploration costs or no?
Yes, and not straight away. They pay through the previous one back through the production, but all the ongoing costs will be shared straight away.
Right. Okay. Thanks, John. That's good.
Once again, as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Kate Lucas of Colin Stewart. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks very much.
Hello, Kate.
Hi. Could I just get a quick clarification on the turnaround scheduled during the third quarter? How long is that scheduled for?
That's the upgrader turnaround?
Yes.
Yeah, it's 60 days.
Okay.
And just to clarify, too, that's a normal turnaround. It's just reached the end where we now have to do a normal standard turnaround on it.
Okay, just the maintenance turnaround then.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, thanks very much.
The next question is from Robbie Parmar of Consempra Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, John. I just have a quick question here. Hi, John. Can you elaborate a bit more on the spinoff that you guys might have of your South Asian assets? And what time frame you have, and if you have looked into it, any of the tax implications that you would have?
Can you say the question again?
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to follow up with and see if you guys could elaborate a bit more on the spinoff of your South Asian assets, and if you've looked into any of the tax implications and any of that, and give us further clarification on that.
Yeah, the Asia asset proposal has now been reviewed by the board. And we are looking through make sure the asset will be practically independent basis once we put the valuation in place. So we are now evaluate all the resource base and look at the future exploration potential. Our schedule still be the same, and the board actually try to announce as soon as they finish the independent review. And the project will be before the end of the year.
Okay, great. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
The next question is from Carrie Tate of the National Post. Please go ahead.
Hello, Carrie.
Hello. Thanks for taking my question. I'm wondering if you have any idea on a timeline on when we might see the new Canadian leader.
And you want to ask, your question is asked when's the succession plan or the announcement of the leader or the position of new president and CEO? Kerry?
Yes.
Okay. And our board actually doing quite a thorough looking for a successor for the company. That has been done, and now they want to tidy up some of the professional side, make sure we will be reviewed by the board members. So as soon as the board of directors confirm the appointment, we will make the news. And of course, I expect and I understand the board will try to announce by the say end or second quarter or early third quarter.
So you have somebody selected and you're just sort of finishing up the final negotiations, is that right?
That's right. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from Marcus Hermisch of Calgary Sun. Please go ahead.
Yeah, actually, it's just a follow-up to what Carrie just asked. Are you going to select somebody, a successor for CEO from within your own ranks? Can you tell us that? Or is it somebody from outside of the company?
That is a board of directors' privilege. I can't speak on their behalf, but I think they did quite a thorough search, internal, external, and even within the group. So you have to be a bit patient, and as soon as we decide by the board, we will announce. Of course, there's a lot of market speculation, but I prefer to say let the board make the announcement themselves.
Well, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no more questions at this time. I'd like to turn the call back to Patrick.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Thank you for your participation in our call today. But if there are any remaining questions, please contact myself or Graham White, our media relations contact offline. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now concluded. You may disconnect your telephone. Thank you for joining, and have a pleasant day. Goodbye.